But before we do that, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture to you today. The message the Lord has given me comes out of Matthew 28. It is the Easter story. But that's not the beginning and the end. It's about how we celebrate it. How do we worship during celebrating, for those of us that are saved, the risen Savior? How do we find joy? How do we find acknowledgement? How do we find peace in this story? That's why the Lord gave me the title of the message today is, Can I Worship in My Faith? Can I worship in my faith? I want to give you three verses of Scripture that the psalmist had given when it comes to worshiping in church. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 4 says, Rejoice the soul of thy servant. Now listen to the words. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. The second text of Scripture this morning comes from Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands and in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And the third text comes from Psalm chapter 77, verse 13. And I love this one. Are you ready? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God is our God. That's how we worship. We worship God in truth. We trust Him and worship Him in majesty. You know, if one of our loved ones rose from the grave, we would be shouting it from the top of North Mountain with the loudest bullhorn that we could ever find. We would want the name of that dearly departed that is now again with us to be heard by the masses. We would start a Facebook page, or we would go to a YouTube page, and we would make everything great because we would want the world to know that the one that we love died and yet has risen from the grave. Amen. What about the one that died for all? Shouldn't Easter be celebrated every service? Shouldn't we be shouting the glories of God on high at every service and every time? Doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon, at the workplace, at the home place, it doesn't matter. We should all be glorifying God. Most churches today, they're going to come in, and some have gathered already, some are about to gather, and they're going to be repeating this great story. But where's the worship? Where's the worship in it? Where do we find grandeur? Where do we find greatness? Where do we lift up our souls? Where do we find a place where when we lift our hands in the sanctuary? And where is it that we give God His way in the church? Amen. To come into the church and to praise God, we are so restricted by man's opinion that we're afraid to raise our hand. We're so restricted that when we come into the church that we just don't understand, or we're afraid to lift up our souls before God in Christ. And if you're saved, praise be, glory to God, He's already got it. Just lift it up to Him. Amen. Give Him the name of Christ and give Him the name of glory, and raise your hand and raise your hearts. And when you come into the church, don't come into the church under precept. Come into the church under praise. Come into the church and want to give God what is His. Praise be, glory to God on high for the one that was alive, that became dead, that He may rise again, that those of us that choose to believe, that we may, as Jesus said, live even though we may die. Isn't it great, Christians, that the grave is not the end of the story for the Christian? Isn't it great to know that when somebody has lost this physical life, that they regain spiritual life in Jesus Christ? And when we go to a grave, the only thing you see is a headstone, and you see a name, and you see some dates. But when you peer down into the depths of the dirt, the only thing that remains is a body. Jesus didn't even do that. His whole body and his soul he resurrected from the grave. Isn't he worth praise? Isn't he worth raising our hands and lifting up our souls and our minds and our hearts before him and thanking him for what he has done? Brothers and sisters, what do we think? Think of this quickly. What do we think we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to see that in the text today of how we are going to respond on the day that we see Christ face to face. We're going to see this in the text today in Matthew 28, where they just laid their lives and their hearts out before Jesus Christ. And if we're going to glorify Him on that day, why can't we glorify Him on every day?
Amen.
Come on now. This is talking about praise and worship, and this is about praising and worshiping a risen king. He's not a dead king. He is a risen king that is alive today and that reigns, and he lives in the world today. He is in a place of majesty and of purpose. He is in a place of hope. He has given to us the abilities to be able to see the Word of God in ways we've never seen it. To exalt Him and to love Him and to praise Him and worship Him. We don't come to a church to praise a man. We come to church to praise a king.
Amen.
A man that has risen from the grave. When my body goes to the dirt, it's going to stay in a vast vault of dirt. It's not going to be raised until that last day. But praise be, glory to God, as the Apostle Paul said, it is a whole lot better to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. And to praise Him and to thank Him for what He has done. To give Him worship and to love Him with everything that we have. Isn't that what worship is? Let me encourage you this morning as we move on. It's not just good enough to come to church and sit under the Word. To worship, we become the Word. We are not just hearing the Word. We become the Word, we are the Word, and we worship the Word of God. Get your minds and your hearts where it needs to be, brethren, and let's love Him for all that He has given. Amen?
Amen.
For those of you, I'll tell you what, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we move forward in this moment of communion service, for those that are here, for those of us that are joining us, so as we walk into this moment, let us rejoice in the soul that Christ has saved. In this moment of communion, let us lift up our hands in a place of worship to declare the righteousness of Christ and God in us. And let us give unto the Lord in this sanctuary, the great God, His great name. Amen. Verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, and He said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Father God, we thank You for this gracious moment. Father, when we humble our hearts before You, Lord, we come gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, not for the purpose of spending a short period of time in a place of worship to remember a story about a man. But Father, we thank You that Your love for us was greater than the love for ourselves. and we come gathered together here today in the name of God and in Christ, and that, Lord, that we serve you and we worship you. Lord, we understand that today that I can worship in my faith because my soul has been lifted before you. My hands will raise into praise and unto praise unto you. And Lord God, let thy way be in the sanctuary of our hearts. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to live and to die and to give himself a ransom for us. Lord, for the moments that he hung on the cross that would lead to a state of eternity. Father, he hung for a few hours, but we will reign forever. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to take communion today and in the next few moments when we get into the Word of God. Help us to exalt, to glorify you, and to praise you on this day as we live our lives each and every day. So for what you have given, for what Christ has given, we glorify you, we thank you, and we give back to you in these moments that we call life. In your name we pray. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it." And why do we do it? In remembrance of him. Lord Jesus, we love you today and we thank you. We thank you that as you have come and as you have given, we exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for this great time of majesty and of grace and of purpose. That, Lord, that we can reflect and realize that if there was no shedding of blood, that there would be no remission of sins. Simply saying, Lord, that if you would not have died, we would be dying in our sins. And we thank you for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, not what you did on that cross over 2,000 years ago, but Lord God, what you do in our hearts today. How you give us peace and love and assurance and majesty and hope and praise and in worship. Father, Lord, that we can just thank you for all that we do. And Father, Lord, worship doesn't come just because, again, that we sit under the word. But Lord, it is our responsibility to apply to the worship service, as the psalmist has so eloquently said in these three verses. Father, help us to lift our voices and our hearts up before you and help us to love you in everything. Take this word and rightly divide it. We plead the blood of Jesus over every heart and over this place, Lord, that you would move as only you can move. And Father, Lord, I pray that if any one of us walked into this room under the precepts of worship, Father, Lord, we would cast those things aside. And Father, that we would unite our hearts with the movement of the Holy Spirit of God today. Help us to be with you, not just to say that we are among you. So let thy word be proven and let thy way be done. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. Go ahead and take your copy of God's word this morning and let's go to the book of Matthew in chapter 28. The book of Matthew in chapter 28. I'm going to give you some present homework. I'm going to give you seven. I'm not going to explain them one by one. I'm just going to walk through the text this morning. But I'm going to give you 7 points of worship for Easter Sunday, but not just this Sunday, but every Sunday. But let's read chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. Let's read verses 1 through 10. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, or the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Isn't it great the way God announces himself? Yes. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Let's get her out today. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Man, there's authority in that statement. Amen. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment was white as snow, pure as pure can be. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake. The guards did shake and became as dead men. They were so afraid. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear ye not. Or fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. God knows all things. He is not here. Let's all together say the next four words in the King James Version. For he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. One more time. He is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 8. And they departed quickly. Notice the accountability to the response of the giving and the direction. And they departed quickly for the sepulcher with fear and great joy. And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, I love these next two words. All hail. This great rejoicing that Jesus and this proclamation. And they came and held him by the what? And they did what? Worship. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Brothers and sisters, as we have read this short rendition of this story as the account of Matthew, in these first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 28, all we see is power, grace, and glory. We see majesty. We see favor. Jesus Christ, if you can only say his name with a long face, then you better get long hearted, because you can't say the name of Jesus, which is the only man that ever went to the grave and stayed out. He went to the grave. He paid the penalty. He paid the price. He walked out and he still remains alive today. Every other God throughout history, the gods of men and the favors of men, every one of those gods have died, went to the grave, and their bones are still decaying today. There is only one Savior and his name is Jesus Christ. Why is the bones of Christ not being just dissolving and finding a place where they find degradation and destruction? Because if you're alive, you can't be dead. And if you're dead, you're certainly not alive. And if you're alive, you're growing in the people, in the minds, and the hearts of man. That's what Jesus Christ does. This is why 2,000 years later, he is still saving souls. He is still reaching out to the greatness of God. He is still fulfilling the power of grace. He is still bringing today what it was that Christ did, what Christ hoped for, why he suffered, why he bled, why he died, why he was buried, and why he rose again. He is the living Christ. That's why the psalmist in these three texts that I gave you a while ago is that we are to lift up our souls before God. We are not just to come sit under the Word. We are to be part of the Word. We are to know that we are, because of the living Word, alive today and will be alive on that great glorious day. And we raise our hands in worship. It's okay. Nobody's going to kick you out. Nobody's going to write you a ticket or lock you up. We can raise our hands in glory and praise in the church. And we can be in the sanctuary and not come under the precepts of what I think you should do, but what we should be doing with him. It's about giving him praise and glory. Remember what I said earlier, that if somebody we loved in this life had died and rose from the grave, we would want everybody to know that they are alive. Shouldn't it be better in Jesus? The only man that could have come, the only Son of God that lived and died and rose again. Can we not understand that the Easter story is not about a beginning and an end, but it's an eternity? It's a place where we find worship. If I'm out in the middle of the desert by myself, I can raise my hands and worship. I can praise and exalt Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, not because I need man to approve it, but I have been condemned in my own sins and Jesus saved me. And on those glorious days when we reach into that rapture of the love of God into our hearts and we see the absolute confirmation of His love in us, man, praise God, we shouldn't want to hold it in. We should want to tell the world that we are saved. We should want to go to a place of worship. We should want to worship at our homes. We should want to worship in front of our family. We should want to worship in front of Him. That we do so with grace and power and with majesty of understanding. And this is what Easter Sunday is about. Y'all getting this? Easter doesn't start on April 4th. It doesn't end on April 5th. It starts and ends in your faith. It starts and ends in who you are. The world cannot have your salvation because the world cannot take your salvation because the world did not give you your salvation if your salvation is in Christ. They can't take and restrain something that is greater than they themselves. Satan hates you because you love Christ. And he hates Christ because he knew you would love him. And that is the power of the Easter Sunday. This is why I get excited. I don't get excited because I'm a preacher. I don't get excited because I'm filled with full of the Holy Spirit of God. I get excited because I still remember the day that I was lost and the day that I was saved. And those days came moments apart. And I praise God that I know that on my last day I'm going to be with Him. Amen. That's where praise and worship comes from. Brothers and sisters, it comes from here. It comes from deep down inside of us of who we are. Not what we want people to see or believe, but who's inside of us. Amen. Who we let out. Who we glorify and we cherish in peace and in love. Are y'all getting this morning? Amen. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. I love that text. They came to see a tomb. I know I didn't give you 7 points, but that's okay. The Lord took me another direction. Verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Can you remember the day you saw Jesus? Can you remember? Come on now. Let's get in some worship here in just a minute. Are you ready? Do you remember the earthquake that happened in your life? Do you remember the announcement of Christ when the Spirit of God moved in your heart? When He came to you and said whatever it was that He said to you? When He moved in your heart, do you remember the earthquake? Let me tell you what, if you don't have a story or if you don't have a story that moves you, you have not received the message that can only move the heart of the lost because there's only one risen Savior. If a pastor saved you, you're still going to hell. If a preaching of somebody's life was what it was, evidence what you was looking for to give you dominating proof of what you wanted to believe in, let me tell you what, if the Spirit of God didn't show up, if the earth didn't quake, if your heart didn't shake, if the stone didn't roll away from your heart, your mind, and your sin, you better seek Jesus today. Because let me tell you what, anybody that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and I mean knows Him with truth and blessed assurance of rapture, of blessed hope in Jesus Christ, when that day comes, if you can't stand there and get excited about your salvation, if you can't remember the moment, if you can't see the hope that lies within you, you need to find Christ and you better find Him today. Amen. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, we can find something in this world. The world will give you whatever you want. They'll give you religion. They'll give you something else. They'll tell you anything that you want to hear. They will move as only they can move, but they can't give what only one can give. Right. And sadly, there's going to be a whole lot of Christians seeing Jesus on Judgment Day. And you say, well, Pastor, that's wrong. That shouldn't be. Matter of fact, it's not wrong. It's scriptural. Because in Matthew chapter 7, right. Jesus said, many will stand before me on that day. And Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Lord, Lord, did we not do wonderful works? Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things for you? And Jesus is going to be like, amen.
Amen.
There's only one exit from the great white throne judgment, and that's to a place called the lake of fire. Did Jesus bring an earthquake into your life? When he showed up the day that you say that you were saved, was it something real in Christ, or was it something that man was seeking for man? For there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Here's the power and the authority. And as this angel came in the power and the authority of God, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. Listen, he didn't roll it out and Jesus came out. Jesus came out before he rolled it out the way. Come on now, let's get excited for a minute this morning. He didn't roll it so Jesus could get out. Jesus came out so they could roll it out of the way so man could see. Oh. Amen. Praise be, glory to God. Let's get excited this morning. That's the way I feel too. All right, come on now. Come on now. Let's get going. You say, well, Pastor, why are you all excited? Let me tell you what, I'm excited every time I get up here. I can promise you that. It don't matter what service it is. Don't matter what day it is. I'm not excited today for any reason other than I'm saved going to heaven because Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Woo! And he came back and he rolled away the stone from the door and he sat upon it. Man, there was the authority of God's grace, power, and majesty. He sat upon it. He laid his place there. He sealed it by sitting.
Yes.
Come on now. Y'all fixing to leave here in a few minutes and go back out to that dark, dismal world. Let's get in the light for at least for a minute before you got to turn on that flashlight. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! Glory! The authority of God is there. His countenance was like lightning. And his raiment was white as snow. Let me tell you what. When Jesus shows up, there's only purity.
Amen.
But when man shows up, there's still darkness. Are you saved because you was lost, or are you saved because you was looking for something to get you out of something or away from somebody? I love verse 4. And for fear of him, the guards did shake. And they became as dead men just standing there. Let me tell you what. This captivating fear that Matthew recounts in verse 4. It's not the captivating fear of the physical presence. It is a captivating fear of the spiritual knowledge that lies within the announcement of grace.
Yes. Yes.
If on your day of salvation, it was just like you heard the gospel and you was just mesmerized and overwhelmed because you heard the good news and you just stood there and there was no movement. Let me tell you what, as he moves today, you better move today. Because there is a Jesus that is alive, and there is a Jesus that is coming, and there is a Jesus that is a judge, and there is a Jesus that can be your Savior. On your judgment day of your heart, did you stand fast and did you stand still, or did you just stand there in the graciousness of God by the power of His mighty hand of grace? Are you like a guard? And the angel answered and said unto the women, there's no major conversation going on here. There's no dialect going on here between spirit and spirit. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye. Don't be afraid of what your eyes sees, but be in the solitude of what your heart knows. Know what you know in Jesus Christ. Know what you know in the graciousness and the power of Almighty God. Don't be afraid in the flesh, but understand and know that the Spirit confirms in your heart. That ought to get at least one glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Come on now. I'm going to go through the rest of this kind of quickly this morning. Fear not ye. For the angel says, I know that you seek Jesus. The one that you remember a couple days ago that was crucified. You remember that Jesus that you loved, that Jesus that you followed, the Jesus that you saw hanging on the cross, the Jesus that you saw the scourging of man, the Jesus that you saw his blood was dripping down his face and down his arms and down his chest and down his back and down his legs and down and off of his feet. Do you remember that Jesus of a couple days ago, the Jesus that man hated, the Jesus that man scourged and crucified, the Jesus that man wanted to get away from so badly, all they could do was beat him and tear him up and rip him apart. That Jesus, do you remember the Jesus of a couple days ago? Do you remember the Christ that died? Do you remember the Savior that has promised you that he would live, tearing down the temple, and 3 days later he will build it up again? Do you remember that Jesus? I want to ask you that question. Do you remember that Jesus? I praise be glory to God for every worship service you attend from this day until that glorious day. I pray that when you walk into that place of worship, that you remember that Jesus of a few days ago. He is not here. He is not here. For he is what? Risen. As he said, as he prophesied, as he told, as he brought about, he said, come on in and let's see an empty place. Let's go into a place that the only thing that's going to be left behind is your doubts and your fears and your unbelief. Because the Savior that you are trusting, the Savior has walked out with the stone in the way, but yet the death of sin and separation is only going to be the only thing left behind in this tomb.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Come on now.
Amen.
This is where he's at. Pay attention to the story. Listen to the love of God through the crucifixion, the risen Christ. Verse 7, he moves on and he says, and go quickly. The angel says at this point, he says, and go quickly. Don't worry about the tomb. Don't stay where the dead once was. You go where the living is. Amen. Don't stay here where there was a dead body and there's only clothing remaining. He says, that's the evidence of faith. Get to those disciples. Go tell him that you have seen the empty tomb. The only thing that lies there is grave clothes and regret.
Yeah.
Woo! Come on now. That's the only thing that's laying in that grave is grave clothes and regret. He is alive. He is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. It's still even giving them direction of where to go. Are you going to heaven today? And in Galilee you shall see him. And I love this. Lo, that's simply going, hey, pay attention and listen to what I'm saying. Lo, I have told you. Lo is the authority. Lo is not just the commandment. Lo is the understanding. Verse 8. And they departed. How fast? Man, they got out of there not because of fear, but because of faith.
Amen.
Woo! They ran. Brothers and sisters, we need to be going and running and telling people about the risen Savior today and tomorrow and for every tomorrow that leads until that day. They departed quickly from the tomb. But they did it with not fear, not the fear of verse 4 that the guards had, but fear of reverence, fear of great joy. Let me encourage you. If you're going to tell somebody about Jesus and go, can I tell you about this Jesus guy? Give me a minute. Let me tell you about my Savior. You ever heard the name Jesus? Yeah. Was you in church yesterday? Yeah, I was in church yesterday. Wasn't that some kind of holiday? Yeah, it was Easter. Yeah, it was just we come together every year and do it. Oh, okay. So what went on at church? Well, we just got up there and preacher got loud and screamed a little bit, bored me, and I was ready to go home early. Said I knew I was ready to go eat lunch and all these other things. So, well, you know, what was this Jesus that y'all was talking? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. That's not what you do. If you're a saved, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you knew that you was once lost and you are now saved by the grace of Almighty God. You need to look at that individual and say, let me tell you what, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about a risen Savior. I don't have the right to talk to you about a dead man because he ain't dead. He's alive. And matter of fact, when they killed the body, yet his spirit still lived and proved it. But he is risen. He is arisen. How can you prove to me that he's alive? Because he's in me. He's in me. The Savior, the power of grace, the Almighty God, the anointing of the Spirit in my mind and my heart. The Spirit of God lives in me. I am testimony of Christ. Let me live before man.
Amen.
And this is what he's saying here. He cries that out. They leave with great joy. They did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples. Woo! Oh, glory. When is the last time you encountered Jesus Christian? Did you hear what it said? When was the last time, Christian, you encountered Jesus? When was the last time you run into him? Matter of fact, I love this. When was the last time that he got in your way? Woo! He wasn't off to the side so they could run by. He was on the path so he could encounter. Are you getting that this morning? That's the Spirit of God. He wasn't over there going, hey, I'm over here. Come on over this way. Jesus got in the way. Man, I'm ready to pass out. Come on now. I've only got you for a couple more minutes. You got a whole lifetime to live after this message. Here's the point. He got in their way. And he didn't get in their way and make them feel bad. He got in their way and said, listen, great rejoicing. When Jesus gets in the way of your life, he brings righteousness and joy and peace. He brings solitude. He brings peace of understanding. He brings an overwhelmingness of grace. He doesn't just get in your way to try to make you feel bad. He gets in your way to send you further on.
Amen.
Oh, Christian, did you hear the word of God? He doesn't get in your way to slow you down. He doesn't get in your way to redirect you. He's there to affirm on your task. Whew. Oh. And when he said great rejoicing, when he said all hail, H-A-I-L, that just simply means, listen up, I'm in the house.
Yes.
Woo, I'm in a place of praise and worship. And guess what? And look what Matthew says that these worshipers and believers in Jesus Christ did. And they came and they held him by the feet. I've been saying this for years and I'm going to say it one last time. I can't wait to get and see my Jesus. I can't wait to get to that bema seat. And to see him elevated above me because I deserve to be below him. And I can't wait to walk up to grab his feet. To then see the nail-scarred feet. And just wrap my face in that love. Oh, brothers and sisters, that day is coming.
Amen.
That day is coming when all of us, on our judgment day, we are not going to have no precepts of worship. We're not going to have no absolutes of man's way of worshiping. We are going to prostrate our life out before Christ. We are going to lie down before him. We are going to rapture ourselves in his nail-scarred feet, in the love of his voice and the beauty of his face, and to hear those glorious words, come unto me, O good and faithful servant, and you will live because I'm alive. I'm a risen Savior. I'm a Christ that is here. I am a Christ that proved to you that I'm alive. I am a Christ, and these women are bringing the account of the future representation of our worship before Him, and we're going to grab Him by the feet. We're going to worship Him. There is not going to be ignorance. There's not going to be arrogance. There's not going to be anything before Christ other than just humbling ourselves and saying, "Oh Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me more than I could love myself. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross for me. If nobody else in this world would have ever accepted you, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me."
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of disappointed Christians when they get to heaven, I can tell you now. If you can't get excited now about a risen Savior, how are you going to get excited when you see Him face to face? The word of God is almost done. Hang on. They held Him by the feet and worshiped Him. Finally in verse 10. Come on, Sister Jill. Then said Jesus unto them. He said, "Be not afraid. Don't worry about the flesh. Don't worry about the mind. Don't worry about anything that's going to slow you down. Don't worry about anything that you think is going to captivate you. Don't be worried about what you think that the Word of God means or how it should be rendered and altered in the minds and the hearts of the believer." He says, "And go tell." I love this. Are you ready? He says, "Go tell my brethren." He said, "My brethren." He didn't say your brethren. He says, "My brethren." He says, "You go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee." And he said, "Guess what? There shall they see me." The question I have for all of us is today, is your salvation real? Did you have an earthquake moment? Did you have a Holy Spirit sitting on the stone going, "Listen, the power is not in the stone, the power is in what moved the stone"? Well, you see, man couldn't move the stone by themselves, not without leverage. Man didn't move the stone. The power of God moved the stone. Do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember when you think you were saved? Do you have a heart-changing, soul-winning moment where you met Jesus Christ? You better remember it, because that's what God's going to be using throughout eternity for you to worship Him. It ain't just here and now. It's there and then. All we're doing is just getting ready for it. Getting excited. Raising our hands and our hearts. Praise and be glory to Jesus Christ. Listen, brothers and sisters. And for any of you that's not saved, this is my last opportunity for you. This is my last chance to stand here before my Lord and Savior that I love with all my heart. My Savior that's turned my life upside down more than once, and He's just did it recently. And He's going to take me and my wife to a place where He's going to use us. He's going to glorify Himself in us, and He's going to take us to a place where we can be used for the furtherance of God in Christ. He met me on my heart's road, and He said, "Son, here's your task. Let's get busy." That's where we're all to be at. That's why I will no longer be here. I'm not going to be here for any other reason other than God says, "Listen, boy, here's what I got for you. Let's get busy." I serve a Savior.
Yes.
And He is alive. And He is the one on the day when I see Him, He's not going to have to introduce Himself. Come on. He's not going to introduce Himself and say, "Hey, Scott, let me tell you, I just want to introduce myself. My name's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." When I see Jesus, it's going to be, "Oh Lord Jesus, the living God. Thank you, Christ, for dying for me." Do you know Jesus? Or do you just know of Him? There's a lot of people in the world that knows of Him, but there's very few that knows Him. Pastor, how do you know? In Matthew chapter 7, "For narrow is the gate that leads into righteousness, but wide is the gate that leads to destruction."
Amen.
You're going through one of them gates, people. I can tell you that now.
Amen. Yes.
And let me say this before I have you stand. Let me encourage you to understand, on your judgment day, You're not going to stand there in between these two gates and go, if you die without Jesus Christ, there's a place called hell you're going to go. But if you die in Jesus Christ, there's also a place of peace that you're going to wind up. That's your decision today. Maybe this is your day. Maybe this is your earthquake day. Maybe this is your stone rolling away day as you stand. Maybe this is the day that the Lord's going to show up, and He's already showed up, and He said, listen, I am alive. Not because a date on the calendar says, remember it, but because an empty tomb justifies it. What you gonna do? I don't know where your heart's at today. That's between you and the Lord. The altar is open. If you are lost and you know that you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, I implore upon you quickly to step out. Maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you said, well, Pastor, back then, I prayed a prayer. Well, that's okay. But are you saved or are you still lost? I prayed in 84 and was still going to hell. Are you with the Word of God today? Father, we put the accountabilities of our heart and our faith before you now. Father, I know that there's a few minutes past an hour. But Father, Lord, help us not to focus on a clock, but Father, understand that the clock of eternity that awaits everyone. Father, if there's one that needs to accept Christ as Lord and Savior today, I pray, God, that they would find that moment. They would find that purity and they would find that reason. Father, move as only you can in these next few moments. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Brother Jonathan, what page?
305.
Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, finding me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin the crimson stain, he was.